the racially divisive history of the United States, and more importantly, how the country can heal from centuries of violence and racism were topics of discussion in St. Petersburg on Wednesday evening at the final installment of Studio at 620's Roundtable on Social Justice series, which addressed race and reconciliation. During the recent controversy over excerpts of sermons by Barack Obama's former pastor, Reverend Jeremiah Wright, some have said that the black church is under attack. But retired United Methodist minister and panelist Reverend Ted Lockhart said there is no such thing as the black church. Instead, there are black churches.
Maybe they were struck, as I was, by the ease with which educated white persons in the media threw objectivity to the winds and violated a basic principle of criticism. They drew far-reaching conclusions about the message of a 40 or 45-minute sermon that they had neither read nor heard in the entirety. Their conclusions were based on 30 or 40-second sound bites.
Lockhart said that Reverend Wright's sermons are part of the tradition of radical black preaching, which began in the context of the horrors of slavery and evolved through the terrors of night riders in the 19th and 20th centuries. Lockhart reminded the audience that some of the sermons of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and others were considered incendiary, unpatriotic, and traitorous by the white media establishment.
Life magazine described the Nobel Prize winner as a communist pawn who engaged in, quote, demagogic slander. The Washington Post wrote, King has diminished his usefulness to his cause, his country, his people. Black radical preaching is not about striking the chords of patriotism or getting positive poll results. It is about the task of being faithful to God in the pursuit of justice in the real world of social injustices.
Another panelist, Reverend Charles McKenzie, is a public schools educator and was defeated last month in the race for State House District 55. When considering reconciliation, McKenzie said, the effects that being racist has had on this country's white citizens is about as important as the effect of racism on blacks.
There is a balanced way to see the race issue in our society. And the balanced way to see it is that the system of racism in this society has done as much damage to the victims as it has done to the victimizer. What has it done to their psyche? What has it done that has infused in them a kind of distorted view of reality that has kept this society from being all that it could be, the best that it could be, because all of the players have not been allowed to compete on an even playing field?
When discussing reconciliation and compensation for slavery, using words like reparations can often be inflammatory and would be the death knell for any presidential candidate, the panelists agreed. Even though reparations for slavery is considered political suicide, other types of reparations, including for the Japanese internment during World War II, have been accepted, according to another panelist, Stetson Law student Graham Schaefer.
What happened there was they went directly to the legislature, Congress, and asked for the funding, and in fact got $1.65 billion. So it wouldn't have any sort of value if you took it, if you filed a case within the court system. I think what it does is, and the Rosewood case does the same, and for instance, when in the late 90s, Congress also told the statute of limitations for black farmers who had systematically been discriminated against for decades by the USDA and their lending practices. It shows that, you know, there can be a willingness to at least allow these types of claims to be brought, and that it's not an impossibility.
To learn more about the Studio at 620 Roundtable on Social Justice series, visit thestudioat620.org. For WMNF News, reporting from St. Petersburg, I'm Sean Canaan.